everyone, and welcome to the Naughty Step. The rest of the team have been very naughty, and I've decided that I'm in charge this week. Joining me in the studio, I've got a new presenter, Commander Amelia. We're going to be showing them how it should be done properly. Good evening, Amelia.
Good evening, Flossie. It's great to be here. I brought a spare roll of duct tape just in case they misbehave, and I can see you've got a heavy pan to hand just in case of emergency.
And we're having none of that innuendo tonight either. No Rudolph hookers, no jet chafing, and a total ban on hairy Harry Balzacs. And those snookers are right out.
Are you allowed to talk?
Only if you're good, and that goes for you too.
Yes, ma'am. Best behaviour, ma'am.
Hang on a minute. I've got to talk about the thing. You know, the thing. How am I supposed to say the thing without getting panned over the head?
I'm sure you'll manage. Right, Mr. Ventura, your bong, please.
How are you allowed to talk about bongs when I can't talk about the thing?
Do you want me to sort this one?
Go ahead.
New creature risk for Galaxy as Dastardly Don does a Dr. Moreau.
Frag, drag, slagged as gank tanks shoot blanks.
Tharg's double dealing dealt a devastating downgrade.
Sneak Peter to leak causes mighty reek.
Cargo loading on go slow after Dockers no show.
Emissions boost as laser surgery chops bigger chunks.
HS5060 attempt to break the team again with long lists of places that are totally in trouble. Who wrote that? You're in big trouble.
That man there. Yes, he's telling us what not to do.
Norma? Sorry, Flossie. She's using her initiative.
The Pilots Federation, fresh from announcing their latest raft of interface updates, new shipboard systems, and pilot proving grounds, have announced the creation of a new permit-locked system, known to be the new hideout of the Dastardly Don Antonacci of Wolf 359. Or at least it was, until we stole it off him for being a salty Camorra boss. The new system, currently undiscovered in the galaxy and rumoured to also be the location of Raxler, is said to contain three named worlds: Jurassic, Zoo, and Coaster. The first planet, the site of all his genetic experimentation, is said to house fearsome creatures from Earth's past, characterised by big, sharp, pointy teeth, or long necks, or armoured bodies, and of course flatulence that keeps the planet's atmosphere in a permanent state of tropical temperature. The second is his personal petting zoo, complete with fauna and flora from the 20th century Earth. We won't mention the 21st century, as most of it died eating discarded fast food straws, and the remainder was hunted to extinction by trophy hunters. Except the squirrels, as there were rumours that they were the driving force behind World War III. The final planet is his own personal fairground, complete with plastic pirates, dodgily coloured... I've tripped myself up there. Plastic pirates, dodgily coloured shakes, and an android population programmed to walk around and around and around, and actually enjoy queuing up, ready to be made to vomit. His idea of paradise. There are concerns that his chosen shipping firm, the Barnard Star Dockers, might be the source of some significant troubles, as due to a combination of poor record keeping and delivery skills that would make even Amazon parcel delivery staff blush, it's very likely indeed that the odd misdelivered parcel might happen. Of course, the label through the Don's door will always say handed to householder, even if they just lobbed it over the fence. The concerns surround whether the drama llamas of Planet Zoo are in danger from marauding tyrannosaurs, the rhinos discovering that they're less horny than the creature put in the pen with them by a count of two, and whether Chief Beef is next in line for a mighty mauling, and of course, whether the dude who walks around in the dinosaur costume is due for an unplanned, forced fornication by a passing brontosaur. For the time being, David Brubin of the Barnard Star Dockers is confident that the parcels will be on time, nothing will be signed for by a neighbour, and besides, the parcels will be in the right system, and you can always just knock on next door and ask for your Velociraptor back. As the Australian Hops team would say, "Strathia marmus, mate, it's a good thing the system permit's locked, or the galaxy would be overrun by creatures that want to kill you. To be fair, that's a bit like Oz."
With their latest shipboard updates, the Pilots Federation licensed a new and quite deadly weapon on the galaxy. The engineer-upgraded special effect Frag Dragon Brag belt-fed munition rack. This upgraded weaponry has, or had, but and more on that later, the effect of de-seeding and thoroughly coring your thrusters, pipping your pips at the post and having fewer boosts than the local top chop half an hour after the end of school. Yes, the Salty Pirates of the Galaxy were on the verge of being renamed Anchor Ganker... I was going to say Anchor Ganker Cankers.
No, you weren't. You said a word. I heard you.
Ow! Sorry. Anyway, after the weapon was banned across the galaxy as a bit of a drag for truckers everywhere wanting to boost their way out of trouble on the double and wake away from harm's way, pirates have been as salty as the anchovies on Brett Riverboat's pizzas as their latest yank'em and gank'em tactic was stopped dead in its tracks, unlike their prey. More about weapons coming up.
Scientists and boffins working for Dr. R. Cannon of Cannon Interstellar have been working hard at trying to save the galaxy from Fargoids. In an operation parallel to those of both Aegis and Ram-Ta, they've discovered a signal hidden in short-range communications that uses nearby ships as multipliers, magnifying their message many-fold, and at a resonant witch space and frameshift frequency that caused wings to experience ever more deadly damage. Without needing to see ships in dry dock, the Doctor has been able to propagate his updated software to all ships in the galaxy, rendering Tharg's secret signal weapon no more dangerous than a bedtime story on CBeebies. This, unfortunately, as with many choices by Cannon, has had the unintentional side effect of actually multiplying the damage on Scarab planetary vehicles, causing wings of them to have armor more akin to soggy toilet paper than the rock-proof, shock-proof, and most importantly, geezer-proof alloy normally fitted. Surface pilots are strongly recommended to do it at their own, and definitely not with other people, for fear of spreading this SRV-STD, or scarab-transmitted destruction, any further.
There was a major emergency declared last weekend, after reports of a leak, the size of which could have overwhelming consequences on the galaxy. Yes, with the first Friday of the month fast approaching, and with it the hook and mug meet, the pipework connecting Cubicle 3 to the emergency mega flush, please don't activate this ever if you're seated on the pan. Simoof did once, and he's never quite been the right way since. Has broken. The resulting effluent wash and dangerous emissions have threatened to overwhelm the man with the mop, and has caused the stink, the likes of which hasn't been seen since the Galnet forums heard about the weapons mentioned earlier. It didn't help that Wilma Pythonfit, fresh from ECM on Sol, left the door open and the leak escaped into the station interior. We're glad to confirm that after the application of the emergency mop and bucket man mop, the bucket kit, and rather a lot of kitchen towel, plus a number of large fire hoses and a sucky thing, the situation is returning to normal, with pine-fresh dangly things being stolen from passing ships to mask the nose-hair curling and possibly mods-causing fumes. For the time being, pilots arriving at Hutton are to avoid, unlike a certain reporter from PC Gamer magazine, causing a stink at Hutton, and instead use their shipboard systems before docking, as we wouldn't want it to become a dingy backwater full of, well, dingy backwater. And here you were, thought we would be talking about an entirely different kind of leak. But Flossie wouldn't let us.
You're right, I wouldn't. Now get back to scrubbing. I want to be able to eat my dinner off that pan when you're done.
It's not a good week for Bernard Star Dockers. The Pilots Federation upgrade contained a sneaky little bit of code to help them in their loading, unloading, and loading again of cargo at their favourite station in Hutton Space. Unbeknownst to them, they uploaded it to the Galactic Server Room instead of Rubin's laptop. And ships throughout the galaxy have been reporting a rash of SRI. No, not Star Citizen. The kind you get when vigorously doing the same motion over and over again with your hand. Yes, even their code has mods. The commodity market, despite the upgrades that tell you the grass is greener somewhere, in fact, everywhere else in the vicinity, has had a one-button glitch that leaves the pilots loading their ship by tapping the Just One More Please icon in fast succession. A bit like an ECM gamer at the retro console. The resultant machine gun staccato, very similar to pilots mashing F5 until the patch notes appear, doesn't appear to have bothered Sidewinder pilots much. But for owners of cutters, and of course our favourite, the Lacon Space Cow Type 9, the hammering away has caused cramp, strain, and overly sized arm muscles to develop in the most unsightly fashion. Though not all uncommon in supporters of Ailing Deval. The good news is that the software glitch is likely to be patched away in the next week and pilots can once again take on a full load at will.
With engineering at a premium, and premium materials for engineering rarer than sales of ECM systems for ships, pilots have for months been raging at the inability of pirates and dastardly do-wrongs to do right and shoot ships properly. Yes, the destructive power of their fully operational space stations, okay, their ships, but that sounded much more impressive, has been such that the little bits left over when blowing up something have not been fit to pick and fit to ships. Yes, the absence of high-grade signal sources, the kinds of locations where you can scoop the bits and bobs that turn your bucket of bolts into a long-range, death-dealing, star-scooping thrust machine, has caused happiness only in the bank balances of the material traders of the galaxy. With the drag frag nerf, the double-dealing ship-peeling Thargoid damage reduction also... I'm going to start that sentence again. With the drag frag nerf, the double-dealing ship-peeling Thargoid damage reduction, also comes some precision engineering to turrets, gimbals, and stabilisers on ship weaponry. Or at least it does on everyone else's ships, meaning the stuff they smash is left in slightly more usable bits. Yes, the high-grade signal source is back. Limpets throughout the galaxy gave a collective cheer as instead of sitting bored in their racks, they can get out there and do their thing, collecting military supercapacitors, improvised components, and proto-heat radiators with wild abandon, shortly before, of course, being abandoned. Such is the lot in life of a limpet.
Good evening, trackers! HS5060 reporting in once more with the latest intel from Canon Research on the Thargoids. It's been a good week for humanity, truckers, with the recent news that the Thargoids took a one-week holiday and gave the bubble a chance to catch its breath. Yay! Furthermore, the return of many truckers from their gathering on Earth has the Thargoids concerned that their holiday was ill-advised and has given humanity a chance to fight back. Yay, us! As a result, the Thargoids are maintaining their many incursions, which means that thankfully none of you have to listen to a long list again, and I don't have to say it. While on Earth, some truckers, led by one Dead Meat GF, managed to steal a Sidewinder in the hopes of setting a new record for the most number of people in a Sidewinder to fly to Hutton Orbital on a single tank of fuel. In true trucker fashion, Dead Meat GF and company managed to upset Federation security forces, which resulted in a rather short-lived flight, followed by a pursuit on foot by the authorities. This led to our wanted truckers accidentally breaking into Aegis headquarters in an attempt to lose their pursuers. However, a run-in with Aegis security led to our fellow truckers locking themselves in a server room. In a moment of frustration while trying to figure out their next move, one of the truckers kicked one of the servers, bringing back online the Eagle Eye network. Wasn't that lucky? As a result, Boffins at Cannon were able to determine that this week's targets are HIP 16348, Machitakatakawa, Esquite, HIP 18187, BD plus 411865, and Liu Xinga. Who would have thought that Dead Meat GF and Company would save millions of lives by accident? And with that, truckers, humanity needs your help to keep up the fight against the bugs. Keep an eye out for hoarders from Hacks Command to engage the enemy, and good luck out there for the bug!
As both of you who were listening last week will know, the news was very exciting. And with that excitement, we have the inevitable expansion. Although we're not expanding in George's pants, the sensation is much the same, and the target is still to insert ourselves into Haghole. Ow. After what seems an age of gently stroking, carefully tweaking and vigorously manipulating, this elderly faction is finally ready to burst forth and unleash Elven's greatness over a new system.
Lou, stop it.
What?
The innuendo.
I'm just recapping last week's news. Anyway, the main focus of our attention, Leuten 151-141, is still far too engorged. So we need to stop fooling around with it till nature takes its course and it shrivels of its own accord.
Lou, if you don't stop right now, I'm taking the collar off the Momus the Bog Spaniel.
Alvin's record collection, for those a little hard of thinking, the two LPs, need to drop, and so does Trepin. The only system with the faction vaguely close to us is Epsilon Indy, but with influence there as likely to move as a...
Careful!
A sidewind in a T9's mass lock. It's no cause for alarm. We have wars in Avik and Hill Pass E, but as we don't care about them or want to be there, please don't be tempted to go and fight for Alvin there. If you need some pew-pew, then there are pirates to fend off in Van Marnen's Star, and Thargoids to push back from our borders. As always, there's basically nothing going on in Colonia, just potter around making money or exploring and keep boosting tier until something happens. Now, over to my wonderful, although rather scarier than usual, Norma. Sorry, boss, I mean Flossie.
Never let it be said that I have not got any initiative. Except this week, of course, when as well as having no community goals, we've not been allowed to find anything out about the Interstellar Initiative. So, this week's Totally Trucker goals. The Hutton Truckers Cooperative have requested new trophies for the cabinet at the Orbital. To achieve this, Alvin is calling for combat bonds, bounties and Thargoid scalps to be delivered to any station you feel like, but Hutton ones might be nice. The initiative began a while back, but as there are only 6 days left before they announce the winners, and we've not yet reached the top tier, there's still plenty of time. In a parallel initiative, Team Hotbox commanders are requested to hone their fighting skills by participating in CQC tournaments and 1v1 engagements. Rewards for your efforts will include a nice trophy for your dashboard to sit alongside the Bobble Noggin Bourbon Dubbery that you've got there already. And of course, you're allowed to keep whatever cash you make in the process. The initiative will end on the 1st of May and definitely won't be finishing early. As it does, it means someone else might pinch the trophy and we can't be having that. And that's it from me this week.